Scooby-Doo experience.
Thanks for tuning in again. We are currently on the 54th episode of my podcast. It's been a really busy June so far. I had been talking about with a bunch of my friends earlier, saying that, you know, this year has been quite slow. None of us really knows what it was because of. Some people were saying it was because of the demonetization that the Indian government implemented or screwed up, rather. But no one really knows, and at least the creative people in my circles, photographers, etc., have been saying that business has been slow. But in June, something has happened. And of course, I'm quite happy about that, because I am not sitting on my arse getting bored again and wondering what personal projects, new ones to work on, etc. I have been super busy with meetings and client work, etc. So that's good. That's the latest update. The boy is going to be sailing soon, and I am 50% looking forward to it and 50% not looking forward to it, because I'll miss him, but at the same time, I will be able to turn into a complete workaholic. So let's see how that goes. I have also noticed that whenever I do these podcasts or these videos, I tend to use a lot of so. When I don't have a thing to start the sentence with, I end up using so. I also use a lot of and. Obviously, it's a pain listening to my own podcast once I've done it. And I try to keep them short. I don't think the 30-minute ones really make sense. Maybe about 20 minutes we can aim for and see how that goes. Because of the Influencer Marketing for Brand series that I've recently been doing, the traffic has generally dropped. I don't think people are looking for education in terms of how influencer marketing works from a brand's perspective. I think a lot of big brands already have agencies maybe. And a lot of smaller brands aren't really using channels like YouTube to learn how it works. Oh yeah, it's that time of the evening in Gurgaon where everyone with a vehicle that has a functioning horn believes that they must use it. Anyway, the traffic, the driving habits in Gurgaon are terrible. Rather, the lack thereof. There aren't any. People don't know how to turn, and just they don't give indicators. After I moved here from Noida last year in August, I honestly thought that Noida traffic would be way worse than Gurgaon. But I was wrong, and I was quickly put in my place by Gurgaon's drivers. One of the things I wanted to talk about today, rather rant about, was this call that I got today from... Honestly, I don't know what agency it was, but it was somebody who was calling from an agency, and I have recently shared my... phone number on my verified Instagram profile. So you have the option of call and email. And a lot of people obviously have no sense of how you should call somebody, how you could probably schedule a call before you actually call them. There's something known as a short messaging service, SMS. You can probably text them first and say, hey, I'm so-and-so calling from here, wanted to discuss this with you. When can we get on a call? So yeah, they called out of the blue. I didn't know who they were. I've never spoken to them earlier. And they told me, the conversation was in the lines of, hey Naina, there is this thing happening on National Yoga Day by this brand. And, we're inviting all the top bloggers. And it's this massive event. And would you like to come and cover it? They specifically said, would you like to come and cover it? So I was like, yeah, sure. I mean, what is the brand's budget? And they were like, oh, the brand is not really looking to do a paid promotion, but we'll be happy to give you a t-shirt. At which point, I unfortunately laughed loudly. And I was like, aha, you're joking, right? To which they said that they were not. And I said that, well, you, the brand is expecting a blog feature or an event coverage in exchange for a t-shirt that probably costs 500 to 600 Indian rupees. Is that what it is? And they said that, oh, you don't have to do a blog post. Just an Instagram shout out will be enough. Just an Instagram shout out? Do you know how much I charge for an Instagram shout out? Why would someone... Oh my God, power is out. So, but you can still hear me, so that's great. Why would someone do an Instagram shout out? And do you know what it's involved? I'll have to actually... come to the event. So there is you know, getting dress time, there is travel time, there is actual being at the event time, travel back time, edit time, because hey, that photo needs to look good. How can you call up someone like this and ask them for doing stuff like this? Like, what is this? Is it's 2017, like, grow a brain. I mean, I don't care what your agency's mandate is or if the brand is even aware that these calls are being made on their behalf by the agency's overzealous employees. But seriously, grow the fuck up. This is business. You have to, at some point, understand that we hate it when you do this shit. So I was just like, wow. I mean, first of all, I forget all the unprofessional way they approached the call, how they got in touch with me, etc. But just, I mean, really? Please don't do that. No, I'm a professional here. This is how I make money. This is business. This is revenue. This is profit for me. So don't do that. I mean, because I really try very hard to stay professional when I get calls like this. But sometimes I have lapses, like today. I think I should not have laughed. I actually laughed because it was ridiculous. So that's one of the things. The second thing is, if you are a sole proprietorship and you're registered in India, you should probably be talking about, oh, the generator is back on. Thanks, Bharat. So the generator is back on. And what I wanted to talk about was, if you're a sole proprietor in India these days, you must be thinking about things like GST. If you haven't heard about it, you are living under a rock and you're probably not paying taxes. Figure out, if you have a CA, you must talk to them and figure out what the whole GST thing is and whether you need to get registered, etc. I met my CA today and tried to figure out which slab I fall under. It depends on the amount of money you make every year, and it's applicable on gross revenue. So it doesn't matter if you made profits or losses or whatever. The gross revenue is the amount on which GST is calculated. Interestingly, the way it is different from service tax, which is what I have been charging so far, is that in service tax, if in a certain year you didn't end up making money, which, you know, you belong to a certain slab of income, if you did not make that money this year, for example, then next year you don't have to charge service tax, even though you are registered and you have a service tax registration number. But with GST, even if you, for example, make losses in a year or you make only half of what you made last year, you still will charge GST and you will have to pay that to the government. There is no reprieve for you if your business has not done well. So figure it out with your CA. If you need a recommendation, I'm going to share who my CA is in the post below. I mean, whatever text I write down. Hey, shout out to Pallav at RK and RK. Thank you so much. You are a sweetheart. You're almost like a younger brother now, actually, which is awesome because you know that they have your best interests in mind. And he works with, I mean, like I said, he's I'm probably one of his smallest try clients. But he's been great for me. Takes the time out to explain it to me, etc. He's a fantastic team. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about was also you need to figure out about Aadhaar. I know, I mean, a couple of people said that, oh, you're a fashion blogger. Why are you talking about Aadhaar? Which is very typical of getting it from online trolls because they clearly don't know how life works. Everyone does everything. They have to. I run my business like I do everything, so I need to know. Twitter is a great resource in this regard. I did write an article on the blog a couple of days ago where I said, educate yourself about the Aadhaar. There are a lot of people who are pro Aadhaar and they think that it should be implemented. But there are also a very small segment of people who think that it is a really bad idea and that it will create a surveillance society in India. I am one of those people. I mean, of course, we all want to be hopeful and positive and hope that the government does not use it for this purpose. But who can say? And, you know, dictatorial governments have been known to use this to eliminate certain parts of the society, get rid of them. I mean, they could just freeze my bank account if I have linked everything one day. And if the government decides, oh, I don't like the Redhus, for example, what do I do then? You know, I'm cut off from everything. That is a worst case scenario. And of course, it would probably fall under the paranoia thing. But sometimes you have to kind of be aware what the worst case scenario is so that you can probably plan accordingly. So I think you should figure that out as well. There is a great resource called Rethink Aadhaar. which I have linked to on my blog post as well. You should probably read about it. You should read about all the bad things that have happened, all the wrong and the misuses that have happened, where, you know, people have had Aadhaar cards made for dogs. There was one that was made for the Indian deity Hanumanji. Someone has tried to make Aadhaar card for Osama bin Laden. So there's a bunch of weird stuff that's happened, and people routinely complain on Twitter saying that they got locked out of their bank account because their PAN card name doesn't match the Aadhaar name, and when they tried to get it corrected, the bank deactivated their account, and they had to take the help of a really good banker who understood what was going on, that things are quite confusing right now. For example, there was this announcement where it was declared that you need to, for filing your income tax returns, you need to provide your Aadhaar card, and that it is mandatory. Whereas the Supreme Court had said that nothing is mandatory right now, we need to fix this, etc. So when the interim bench, I think, sat and they talked about it, even the Supreme Court didn't say that, okay, it's not mandatory. They told the department, you go ahead with it, let it be mandatory for now. We will decide at some point and then let's see what the decision is. So for now, July 1st onwards, your Aadhaar card needs to be there if you are filing income tax. So file it before that if you want to, play it out for another year and see how it goes, which is what I'm going to do. I don't have an Aadhaar card. I have a PAN card. I discuss how much money I make publicly. So I have nothing to hide, which is another argument that people use that, oh, you don't want Aadhaar card. Matlab, there must be something fishy. Whatever, please grow a brain. And again, it's very hard to kind of be educated about everything because the rulings are really confusing. The latest Supreme Court ruling was, even lawyers were like, what is this? Luckily, there are some really ace lawyers on Twitter. You should look at, I'll put some links in the text that I write, and you can probably go and check them out and follow them. One of them is Mee Meghnath, who works at the parliament. So he knows the ins and outs and pretty much has a hand on the pulse of what's happening on a daily basis. Then, of course, there is Rethink Aadhaar, where you can read about the latest developments, the good and the bad. And they also have a letter which you can send to your member of parliament asking them these questions and asking them to address these in the parliament, etc., things like that. So, yeah, for now, that's what I wanted to talk about. The other thing, I think one of the really exciting things that happened recently with me was that I was commissioned to do Eyes for People portrait for a client. So that was my first commission and I was really, really excited about it. So thank you Bloomsbury India for doing that. And the person I photographed was this amazing author called L.S. Hilton, who has written these two books called Maestra and Domina. And she was in India recently. And in collaboration with Bloomsbury, I also ran a giveaway on my blog and on my Instagram, where Bloomsbury agreed to give away 5 personalized signed copies of Domina by L.S. Hilton. So that happened. I ran the contest. I was obviously, with every contest, I'm always worried that, oh my God, nobody's going to participate in this contest. Luckily, there are other book lovers like me outside, out there. And I did get a bunch of comments. And I think we had about 39 people who participated. And I got about 60 comments because people were so cool. They commented on the blog and they commented on the Instagram updates that I posted. And then I did the old school selection of, you know, making chits, wrote down everyone's name. So yes, I wrote down 39 names, put them in between, I put them in a place. And then I just randomly picked out 5 people. And we picked the winners and the author has already signed the books. I'm aware of that. I am not yet aware if they've been shipped. But as soon as you find out, and do post a link and let me know what you think of the books. I am reading Maestra right now. If you're watching the video, that's what it looks like. And it's pretty cool. I like it. So that assignment was pretty awesome because that was my first Eyes for People commission. And it takes someone inside the brand to understand how that could work as a promotional tool for the brand. And not all clients kind of understand how that works. So when Meenakshi at Bloomsbury, she kind of understood what it meant and how we could work, etc. And I thought that was pretty amazing. And I got a chance to photograph the author. Bloomsbury has also published J.K. Rowling's work. So can you imagine how cool it would be if she was in India and I was hired to do a portrait of hers? Like, that would be, oh my God, awesome. I mean, I love the Harry Potter series, but which is really cool to meet someone like that who wrote that. And the way she is on Twitter also, J.K. Rowling, she's pretty amazing. So that was a cool commission, and I hope that because of that there will be more work and more brands will kind of recognize how that works. There are a bunch of other assignments that I am currently working on. There is a home fragrance and personal care brand that has recently hired me. They sent me a box full of stuff called, their brand is called Akam. So it's EKAM, Akam Online. And I will be writing about their personal care products as well as their home fragrance stuff and candles. You guys know I love. That's happening. Then there's another clothing brand that I'm going to be working on. My birthday's coming up. So I was trying to do a story around that. I don't know if it's going to work out. Let's see. That's pretty much it. Let's not stretch this out. If you guys have questions or girls have questions, I would love to answer them. I would love to address those subjects. I mean, again, whatever I talk about GST and Aadhaar, at the end of the day, I'm not a lawyer. Please don't take it as legal advice. I am supposed to be sharing my contract. So I think I'll put that up as well. People have asked me about what kind of contract I have. Honestly, my contract is really simple. I'm a little embarrassed that I have to actually, put it out. So I keep pushing it off that maybe I'll put it later and then I just don't do it. It's nothing. It's literally one paragraph saying identifying who the client is, who I am, who holds copyright, what licensing the, client will be getting and stuff like that with my bank details. That's it. So it's really, really simple. I think most of the complexity in a contract is taken away, at least in my case, because I charge 100% advance. So there is no need to put in a clause saying, okay, if you, pay 1 month late, this is the late fee percentage. Every week I'm going to charge you this much if it's late. What happens if there is non-payment and things like that. So I cut out 90% of my headache right there. The moment I get paid, that clause doesn't need to be included at all. And nobody needs to worry about, oh, what if that happens? I do include a clause, when some clients are really concerned that what if I die before delivering on the, the requirements of the engagement, which is honestly a fair business question. What if the vendor dies, then what do you do? So sometimes I'll include a line saying that, this is my husband's name, this is his number. Please show him a copy of this invoice and he will reimburse the entire amount to you in the, case that I die. Hopefully you will please get in touch with him after a few months of my death. Please don't get in touch with him immediately because then you're just being an asshole. That's it. Thank you for listening. This was the 54th episode and I look forward to talking more about the kind of clients I work with, the kind of assignments I deliver, and I will link you to the assignment that I've done recently so that you get an idea of what I'm talking about and not like, oh my god, what is she talking about? Thanks, bye.